We all know what it is to lose something. The glasses we need to see, the car keys, the bank card, that small but vital nut that came with the self-assembly bookcase and somehow fell out of our hands. Once you start looking for what is lost, it's hard to stop. It must be somewhere, we mutter. We look in the likely places, then the unlikely ones, then the places we've already looked. We leave the physical search alone. It'll turn up. But in our mind, we're still looking, retracing our steps, turning over the possibilities in our mind. And then, if you find it, the relief. This week's parable gets into that experience of losing and finding. What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbours, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is one of three parables in Luke's Gospel connected by the same context. Along with a woman who searches for a lost coin, Jesus tells the story of a shepherd who leaves his 99 sheep in the wilderness to search for that one who is lost. And then the story of a son who asks his father for his share of the inheritance, squanders what he receives in fast living, and then comes back home, hoping to crawl back into some kind of security as a servant, only to be surprised when he's welcomed as a long-lost son. The setting for the three parables is this. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Just a few lines, but so expressive in what they say, so explosive in what they imply. I suspect we get so used to Jesus experiencing opposition from the religious authorities of his time that we stop taking in just how disturbing his actions were. He is at home with the people of the street, the uneducated, the shady characters, the disapproved of, the outsiders, those whose lives seem excessive and disorderly. Not only does he welcome them, but he accepts their hospitality, sits in their homes, receives their food. When I read the Gospels, I automatically place myself on Jesus' side against those from the religious authorities who seem, in my imagination, to be so stuck up and stuck in their ways. Then I wonder, is that true? How open am I to go out and receive the hospitality of people on the margins? How far do we as church go out from our walls and all our familiarities to be humbly alongside those who feel no connection with our ways? We can be good at offering help from our position of strength. Are we also willing to be vulnerable enough to receive what they might offer us? Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." The person at the heart of the parable of the lost coin is a woman. She has 9 silver coins in her possession. But the thought that consumes her is that one silver coin that is missing. She is purposeful and persistent in her seeking, lighting a lamp, sweeping the floor of the house, searching diligently. She will not stop until she has found what she has lost. And when she does find it, she goes out and calls to her friends and neighbours, "Rejoice with me. Share my joy. Let it be your joy too." In all three parables, this heartfelt invitation comes. The lost sheep is carried home on the shoulders of the shepherd, who's left his 99 in the wilderness. He goes to his friends and neighbours, "Rejoice with me." The father of the lost son calls for a feast to be prepared and pleads with the elder brother, "Come, eat, rejoice with me." A God of large-hearted joy. That's what I see. No narrowness, no meanness of spirit. A God who invites us into this same wideness of heart. One of my former running routes took me past a church that specialised in gloomy posters. So one week it would be, "Repent or ye shall perish," and then another, "Your sin shall find you out," and then, "The wages of sin is death." I wondered what it would be like to go to that church. I wasn't tempted to find out. No joy in this God, just fear, a frown, the prospect of condemnation. And here is a picture of a woman so overjoyed at finding what has been lost that she gathers her friends and neighbours to share her joy. A generous God, spilling over with rejoicing. A God who seeks. Last week, in thinking about the parable of the landowner who built bigger barns, we heard Jesus' invitation not to be consumed by our possessions, but instead to seek first the kingdom of God. But here, God is the one who seeks. A woman lighting a lamp, methodically and purposefully sweeping her floor, not giving up until she has found what is lost. The beginning is not our search for God, but God's seeking us. John of the Cross expresses it this way. This advice is very necessary, not only for all those who advance so prosperously, but also for all others who seek their beloved. I want to speak of it. In the first place, it should be known that if anyone is seeking God, the beloved is seeking that person much more. Much more. Not just those who are advancing so prosperously, but all who seek. Necessary advice. I want to speak of it. In the first place, it should be known. John really wants us to take this in. In the first place, it should be known. If anyone is seeking God, the beloved is seeking that person much more. The persistent, large-hearted God seeking us. God's movement to us is always the beginning. Even if we've no heart for seeking God, God is seeking us. Maybe we need to gaze at and stay with this scene of Jesus finding and sitting down to eat with those that some have labelled tax collectors and sinners. Jesus didn't read labels, whether these were ones applied by other people or ones that tax collectors and sinners began to apply to themselves. God doesn't read our labels. God simply seeks, simply desires to sit and eat with us. You don't have to be good enough. You only have to be open to receive and to welcome. Turning our gaze around from looking at God through this parable and its setting to looking at us, what might we see? We are sought. We are significant. There is no thought that 9 coins or 99 sheep are enough. There is no writing us off in God. Significance can be a challenge to take in. I remember sitting in church, listening to wonderful passages about the love of God, and mentally turning around to see who God might be talking to. Even the phrase, God loves everyone, can leave us cold. How significant can I be amongst everyone? So perhaps it's more helpful and more accurate to say, God loves each one. I am the one, you are the one, now, here, that God seeks so purposefully and persistently. I am the one, you are the one, Jesus willingly desires to sit with and who humbly awaits our welcome. Rejoice with me, the woman of the parable cries, for I have found the one who was lost. As we take that insofar as it's possible to do so, then we also understand and experience how we're to go out of our familiar places of safety and sit down with those who are strangers to us and receive what they have to offer us. We are all the lost, and we all have a part to play in that movement of God whereby we all become the found. Finally, as I sit with this parable, I'm struck by the realization that the seeker, the God in this parable, is a woman. Is that just a domestic detail, the product of an assumption that it's only a woman who knows how to wield a broom? Perhaps. But I also welcome this broadening out of my assumption about who God is and how God is expressed. The kingdom of God is like a woman who lights a lamp and sweeps her home carefully and purposefully in search of a lost coin. And when she has found it, calls out to her friends and neighbours, "Rejoice with me."